From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The leadership of Juneau Ski Area is asking city officials for $2 million to buy a used aerial gondola system that could operate in the winter and summer. Scooping it up could save tens of millions of dollars compared to buying new. Eagle Crest Ski Area officials want the Juneau Assembly to act quickly before the window closes to buy the rare gondola system they're eyeing. But several assembly members are uncomfortable with the tight timeline for vetting. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
The Juneau Assembly decided on Monday to give Eagle Crest officials 2 more weeks to flesh out their pitch to buy a used gondola system. At the end of the month, the Assembly intends to hold a public hearing and final vote on the $2 million request. The ask first came to the Juneau Assembly during a committee meeting on February 2nd. For the Assembly to make a final decision in less than a month is unusually fast for this kind of business. Here's Deputy Mayor Maria Gladyszewski.
We are really scrambling in an incredibly advanced timeline for a government body to analyze something. Why is this such an emergency right now?
Eagle Crest General Manager Dave Scanlon says opportunities to buy used gondola systems that suit the ski area's needs and ambitions are very rare. He found one on the market now. It's in Austria and still in use, but will be dismantled and replaced with a higher capacity lift beginning in April.
So we have a short window to secure this lift before it goes to another buyer or has a different fate.
If approved, Scanlon says there are many decisions ahead about how exactly to use the gondola system. It could be used to replace the aging Ptarmigan chairlift, which was also purchased used. It's been operating since the ski area opened in 1975. Or the gondola could be an additional lift that goes to the top of the ridge. That would make more terrain accessible in the winter. It's also a cornerstone for lots of ideas to expand summer activities on the mountain while keeping tourists out of the weather.
And what's unique about it is it has much, much lower operating costs, much lower maintenance costs, and it's a very simple, basic machine, yet it's able to do what we need it to do in both summer and winter seasons.
He estimates the installation would cost another $6.5 million, and it should be able to run without major maintenance for another 20 years. Before getting to installation, officials would have to figure out where the gondola would actually go. That means getting geotechnical work done and collecting wind data at different sites. The pros and cons of different alignment options would be weighed out with more public input and without rushing. That doesn't sit well with Assemblymember Carol Treem.
What I am hearing tonight and from the board meeting on Friday is that we are being asked to buy it and then have the public process, and I don't think that's the appropriate way to do this.
Treem and Alicia Hughes Scandies voted against moving the measure forward. Assemblymember Wade Bryson is not a skier, though he is a businessman, and he hasn't always supported funding for the ski area. But he's a fan of the gondola plan and expanding summer operations.
When it comes down to it, the community is going to say, no, you got to keep Eagle Crest open, and this is the least expensive way that we can ensure the future of Eagle Crest.
Scanlon has put together a financial model that predicts how different cruise ship tourism numbers and spending habits would play out for a bare-bones gondola experience in the summer. He estimates that with about 300 visitors a day, Eagle Crest could keep operating as it does now, with the city kicking in about $1 million a year for operations and capital projects. Scanlon thinks it's reasonable to expect higher visitor numbers that would eliminate the ski area's need for local taxpayer support. That's what Bryson likes.
Let's put our business hats on and let's see if we can't make some money. It's not against the rules for Eagle Crest to be profitable.
If the Assembly opts out of buying this particular gondola system, Scanlon says a comparable new one would likely cost something like $22 million, plus spending 2 or 3 years on a manufacturer's wait list. As for the Ptarmigan lift, Scanlon says it could be replaced with something comparable or higher capacity for a few million dollars. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
If you want to weigh in, you can email bureauassembly@juneau.org. The Juneau Assembly plans to take public testimony on February 28th before its final vote on the gondola purchase. It's been 21 years since the Tongass roadless rule was first established. For people involved in the battles between industry and subsistence, the tug of war over land use in the Tongass National Forest has been going on even longer. KTOO's Lindsay Berlini sat down with Lingit activist Kasha Duha Wanda Culp to talk about the impacts of such a long history and the role that Indigenous women have played in this conflict.
Do you think you could kind of go a little bit into like the background on the issue, how it came up?
My involvement came about in the early 1980s when I moved from Juneau and into Hoonah and needed to know firsthand how to hunt, fish, and gather. And through that process, I was literally taken under the wings of my Tlingit grandmothers, who taught me a lot about the history of our people and where we come from. When the clear cut started in Hoonah, it happened right in one of our hunting areas. We always, you know, would drive around when we had vehicles just for something to do. And I was up on Hoonah Mountain, ran into one of my grandmas. Her and her husband were driving around, and she looked at the fresh clear cuts, and she was crying. And she said, "See what they're doing to us? Do you see what they're doing to us?" It broke my heart, and I did not realize, because we were so isolated in Hoonah in those days with no, you know, no access to internet technology like today. So I had no idea that others in Southeast were also voicing their objections to the clear-cut business happening all around us. So it was a combined voices that I believe helped create the 2001 roadless rule. It was so politically controversial back then after the 1990s when the, you know, boom basically busted. I became a recluse. It was pretty harsh. Well, maybe 6 years ago, Osprey Oriole Lake of Weekend International Women's Earth and Action Climate Network called me up, got my name somewhere, and literally pulled me out of mothballs to, as she made me aware of what was occurring politically with the roadless rule again. We've been to Congress to Weekend and partnering with Earth Justice that helped us, four of us from Hoonah in early 2019, to meet with 14 Congress people in D.C. face-to-face. We wore our regalia and spoke to them through our regalia, representing who we are as Indigenous women. So once there was a change of hands to our last administration, beefed up the temperature, you know, in the realization that we can no longer allow the roadless rule to be a political puppet at their whim. We need to put it into law now. When we really began rolling and boiling here, and it was early in 2019, Lisa Murkowski tried slipping weakening of the roadless rule in a budget rider. That's how easy it is to manipulate that rule. And had we not been alerted to that, that would have happened a long time ago. There's been plenty of silence to what we have brought forward and publicized. One of my elders told me, when it comes to us, when I was worried about why isn't anybody saying anything, he's like, it's called tacit approval, silent approval. And we have that. The need for grassroots solutions, we just need a way to process it and get it out from the ground up all the way to D.C. this way, not from the top down.
Do you think that momentum is already there, that grassroots momentum?
It is. It was already there in the 80s and 90s. That momentum created the 2001 roadless rule. And that rule never stopped being challenged. This is old hat, what we're doing, always defending the roadless rule. The momentum has only grown. In that one meeting, there was ex-loggers, teachers, and, you know, they were so relieved to hear when I said, you folks have a right to say your objections to what's happening on this clear-cut logging. They were being quiet because they thought they didn't want to step on our toes, and they thought that we initiated the clear-cut logging to destroy our own land. So once that conversation was opened, I began to realize how many people love the Tongass and realize that it's not so controversial within our own region. What's controversial is the misuse of it.
It was really good to hear from you.
Yes, good to talk about this. Thank you for the opportunity.
This is KTOO.